Talking about being connected, amen? Being connected. Connected is the name of the series we're on. And I want to really focus today on something specific. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28. And we started here last week and we talked about the fact that you are chosen. Amen? You're a chosen person. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 16, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And sometimes we think that we have choices because we chose to be a Christian. You didn't choose. God chose you. God has chosen you, and he's appointed you that you would bear much fruit. His desire for you is that you understand that God has hand-selected you for the circumstance you're in, to be born where you are born, to be who you are. You were chosen for your life. You were chosen to step in the shoes that you live in. You are chosen. And so when you understand that you're chosen, you can stop resisting the position that you're in. See, as long as I'm resisting the position I'm in, God can't maximize where I am. He can't maximize what's going on in my heart and in my mind. And as long as I'm fighting against that, as long as I'm wrestling with who I am, then I'm not really able to just enter into what God has. So I went up, we were just talking last night, when I was in the Marine Corps, at a certain point, I started thinking about when I'm getting out. And so I didn't always maximize being in because I was so worried about when I was getting out. And so sometimes you're in a situation and God is forming you and God is shaping you. And God's doing something in you, but you're so something. I'm going to say you. I can sometimes be so focused on getting out of the situation that I'm missing what God is authoring in the situation. See, Joseph was taken by his brothers and told, listen, you dreamer, we're tired of listening to you and all your dreams. So we're going to take you out. We're going to sell you off. They threw him in a hole and they waited for this band of traitors to come by, and they sold their brother as a slave. What kind of feeling do you have to have in your heart? Now, me and my brothers have gotten into different things at different times, but I never wanted to make a slave out of them. I never wanted to sell him as a slave. What kind of anger has to reside in your heart to want to sell your brother as a slave? And that was a compromise from killing him. So that means two things probably happened. That means that Joseph probably was talking so much about his dreams and where he was going and what he was doing that his brothers finally got sick of, look, we're out here working and you're in there with a coat of many colors and your father loving you extra, sending us out to work and you trying to manage us. We're tired of hearing it. So that anger arose against Joseph. But when Joseph was sold as a slave and Joseph wound up in Potiphar's house, you don't see a lot of Joseph reminiscing and going back and thinking about my brothers did me so wrong. You don't see him worried about what happened back in the old land. You see him there saying, I'm here, so I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to work. And so I'm a slave in Potiphar's house when I used to be a manager in my own father's house, and my brothers have not liked me, but I'm still going to labor right here. And as I labor, I'm going to just be blessed. And the word says that God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph as a slave. He was with him in his place of condemnation, where he's been sold off on. And then after living there and working there and prospering and causing his master to prosper, something happens and he gets taken out of there and goes from being a slave to being a prisoner. But in the prison, he does the exact same thing. You never see him talking about, oh, Potiphar wronged me, throw me into this prison, and here I am. You see him working in the prison and all of a sudden moving up the ranks so that he has favor inside the prison. So the believer, when we understand that to worship God, to be a worshiper, means that you acknowledge God's presence over your circumstances. You acknowledge God's presence over the conditions that you're in. You acknowledge God's presence over the other things that happen in our lives. And so as a worshiper, Joseph being a slave and also being a prisoner still found a way to prosper. So how can the church, with all the blessing that we have, how can we do less than prosper? And I'm not talking about prosper with money. How can we do less than prosper in excellence to the things that God has given us to do? Because I guarantee nobody in here woke up in a prison. Not one of us woke up in prison. Not one of us woke up as a slave. So what is the hindrance? What is the thing that the enemy can send into our lives that can stand before that, that can match that, that can stand before us? And we can say, well, you know what? My life is so bad, I can't worship. My life is so bad, I can't really find the place of God in my life. No, we got it good, and we need to recognize how blessed we are as people. Amen? When you understand that you're blessed and you have that worship in your spirit and you begin to say, God, I love you, man. God, you've been blessing my life. Lord, even though these other things have happened, I'm not going to worry about those because you still are God alone. And for before time began, you knew who I was and you placed me and chose me to stand where I stand. And we have to understand that we've been chosen and selected to stand in the position where we stand. And we need to stand where we stand with authority, knowing that God is with you. You are where you are, and you've been placed where you've been placed because God's hand is on your life. And when you find yourself in situations and you find yourself in the workplace, and Sam talked about God's calling on us to the marketplace. When we stand in the marketplace, we have to recognize you have been sent there. You have been sent there as a Joseph into Egypt. And sometimes the people who sent you there are the very people you're there to save. Sometimes when you get there, you have to recognize that God has placed you in a place and he has a purpose for you. Now, the Pharaoh had no idea that while Joseph is being sent to him as a gift through the prison system, he has no idea. He has no idea that his blessing for his nation, Egypt was the greatest nation on the planet at the time. And Pharaoh has a gift coming to him to bring salvation to his nation through the prison. A gift is sent to the greatest man who's the leader of the greatest country on the planet, and that gift is sent through him through the prison. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being that gift? Passing through these things and going through different things, going through challenge and struggle. Can you imagine being that gift and what it takes for you to maintain your giftedness through slavery, through prison, to come to another level? Yeah. See, the problem is that when we get put into slavery, we start thinking about being a slave. And then when we get put in prison, we start identifying with being a prisoner. God says, no, I'm giving you a new identity. Your identity is in Christ. You are a Christian. You are saved by the blood of Jesus. And when we're doing that confession about recognizing that you're beautiful, if don't nobody think you're beautiful, the Creator thinks you're beautiful. If don't nobody think that you're wonderful, your Creator thinks that you're wonderful. And he thinks you're wonderful enough to wrap you and place you as a gift to the world that you live in. And whether you come through slavery, or whether you come through the prison, or whether you come through hardship, whether you come through abuse, whether you come through addiction, whatever you come through, no matter what you come through, it does not change the fact that you are a gift to this world. You are a gift to the universe that you live in. You are not here by accident. You are not an accident in general. You are fearfully and wonderfully designed and made. That's who you are. That's who you are. And to understand that changes everything about you. It changes everything about you. Not to make you proud, but to understand my value is not found in what you think about me. Because the prison guards looked at Joseph and felt superior to Joseph. But eventually Joseph is going to save their lives. Joseph has the answer to the famine that they don't have an answer to. But they don't recognize a gift has been sent into their midst. So after Jesus is crucified, Jesus tells his disciples, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, Matthew 28, into the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." See, they crucified Jesus because they didn't know the gift that was sent to them. The Jews did not understand because they're looking for something specific, and they didn't see what they wanted to see, and so they crucified him. But even in being crucified, he's still a gift to them. And then Jesus comes back, and he doesn't go to all the Pharisees, the great religious rulers. He comes to the 11 people who follow with him and says, "Now, all authority has been given to me, but I'm not going to keep it for myself. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you authority to go and preach the good news. I'm giving you the power to go preach the good news. I'm making you Josephs to your generation. I'm making you a Joseph to the workplace that you're in. I'm making you a Joseph to the family that you're in. I'm making you a Joseph to the neighborhood that you live in. I'm bringing you as a person who brings answers to the circumstances and the situations where you go. I'm making you that. All authority is given to me, and I'm giving it to you." We have become Josephs to our lands. And it doesn't make a difference where you came from or how you got where you are. What makes a difference is that you recognize who you are. You got to recognize who you are. And knowing who you are, see, this is what happened to Joseph. Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar says, "Joseph, you have blessed me so much. I trust you with everything in my house. Except my wife. I trust you with everything." And so Joseph, having that authority, eventually the wife looks at him and says, "You know what, this is a young, wonderful man. My husband's away. Hey, Joseph, come here." "Oh, no. You know, my master Potiphar has said he trusts me with everything in the house except you, and we're going to keep it just like that." And she kept on, and she kept on, and she kept on. And finally she got him, and she says, "Listen, if you don't come and lay with me, I'm going to scream and tell everybody that you did anyway." So he said, his words are this: "How can I do this thing before the Lord?" See, the heart of worship was in him. See, that's the whole thing. That's what starts to identify who's who. The heart of worship in him. When he gets in a tough place, it's not, "Oh, I shouldn't do this." No, it's like, "How can I do this before the Lord who's blessed me?" So his witness, as we say, was that he's a worshiper. It's not all the other stuff. It's the fact that in hard times, he doesn't identify with all those other things. He identifies himself as a worshiper before God. How can I do this thing before God? But wait a minute, didn't God let you get sold by your brothers? But wait a minute, didn't God let you be brought captive here? So if you can trust God like, how can you trust God like that? If all these bad things have happened in your life. And the thing that stops us from being able to fulfill Jesus's call to go into all the world is all those things in our life that tell us, who are you to do that? Who are you to be able, who are you to stand up and say that your God is the right God? Who are you to declare that Jesus is the answer or the way? Who are you? How can you possibly say that? We have to know who we are. Because if you don't know who you are, then eventually you will start listening to those voices. You will let those voices silence you. You will let those voices calm you. You will let those voices stand between you and the calling that God has for us. Now, I want to real quickly, and we're going to shift around. I want a video that I want you to watch. Listen very close to this. Let's skip that. Let's go to the video.
The church reminds me that I am called to be the beautiful. I'm called to be the light. That I really am called to move in a way that is so invertedly different from the world. And that we're called to be that picture where, you know, there's a coffee shop here called Inversion. And it was created out of a house that was going to be torn down, and the artist took and inverted the house. And so it literally caught your eye when you drove down Montrose to see this house that you could tell was a house, but something wild and strangely different and also awe-inspiring was going on with this house, where they had taken the boards and made it do things that you wouldn't think a house should do. I think the church is called to help us to be that oddly strange and incredibly invertedly different way of being in the world. Because I think everything Jesus was about was saying, no, it's not about being like the scribes and the Pharisees. It's not about the external stuff. It's not about who gets to sit where. It's not about who gets the better place at the table. It's about everybody being able to come to the table and everybody being welcomed at the table. And my God, what a great table that'll be. That we all get to be there, because we've all got a story of how the kingdom has come into our life. And so I think the church ought to be a picture of what that table looks like, when we all get to sit at that table and we all get to bring our story and we all get to bring our pain, because God knows much of our pain is what's created our story.
But not Muslims or gays.
Oh, heck, everybody. Muslims and gays and Buddhists and atheists. I want everybody at that table. I think Jesus wants everybody at that table, too.
Hitler?
Heck, yeah. Hitler needs an opportunity to know about a love that would receive him in the midst of all that he put others through. But really, the bottom line was, how much pain did Hitler know personally? How much abuse did he know personally? How much bewilderment did he know personally that caused him to create this massive killing program? I think Jesus is about a massive living program. And so, yeah, everybody needs to be at the table, because everybody desires to live. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say, just you and, oh, only you and just this kind of person. But he said, I've come that, and I hear all might have life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I think that whosoever is woven through everything Jesus does. Everything Jesus teaches is about the whosoever. Ask the woman who went to him and asked for him to heal her child. And he said that I can't give the bread to the dogs. And she said, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs under the master's table. Because she understood better than Jesus, whosoever, at that point. So yeah, everybody's invited. The church is supposed to represent that great table where everybody gets a chance to eat and be fed.
That doesn't sound sustainable.
What do you mean not sustainable? He is the bread of life. How much more sustainable can you get? He transcends time. He transcends culture. He transcends famines and feasts and festivals and crusades. What do you mean it's not in the Bible? Well, it's only lasted 2,000 years. We're still talking about this same Jesus. We haven't ran out of him yet.
You really think all things are going to be made new?
I do. Well, you know, if nothing else, we can look at nature. You see a pine tree experiencing some decay, and over time it falls to the ground. And over time it begins to house various animals that live off of the substance of that decay. Then over time that pine tree falls and crumbles, and then it becomes the floor of the forest. And in the midst of all of that, it becomes the basis for a new pine tree. So yeah, I think if we can see that in nature, then we can see that in our nature, in human nature, that indeed all things can become made new.
What gives you hope?
That. That gives me hope because I see a lot of people suffering. And I know that even in my own suffering, God gives me an opportunity to dig down deep past all of the pain and past all of the disappointment and the hurt and the rejection and the injustices. And in the midst of that, He'll let me see just a glimpse of something life-giving. That's what gives me hope. Hope not only for me, but hope for everybody. Hope for the young African-American men who wear hoodies and get shot because they have on a hoodie or their music is determined by somebody as being too loud. I have to have hope. I don't know how I would live if I didn't. And so I trust in the same power that was able to resurrect Jesus, that same power will resurrect me, and it'll resurrect the person that would shoot a person for their music being too loud. And so I don't want to be surprised when I get to heaven. I want to see this man redeemed. I want to see Hitler redeemed. I want to see slave masters redeemed. I want to see that. I long to see that because I think that is the hope that Christ offers me. Is that if that pine tree can, in the midst of its decay, become the ground of new life, then so can I. So can we. So yeah, that's what I hope.
Amen. Let's go back a couple of slides. So I showed that, the reason I wanted to show that video in the middle of the message is because there's a couple of things. Now, I want you to know this. I didn't show that video to anybody. So when Tammy began singing, "You Need to Say You're Beautiful," and she started out with that, nobody knows what was on that video. Nobody knows I was going to show that video. So the Holy Spirit always orchestrates, and He always pulls things together. And that's the understanding that we need to operate under. Is that the Holy Spirit is always orchestrating things in our lives. He's always authoring things in our lives. And so sometimes the fear that we have is that we don't know what's next, but you're in the hands of someone who knows what's next. So when we talk about having faith, it's not just faith to believe for things, which is what the church has started to transform faith into. But faith is the trust in the God of all creation actually having you, His child, in His hands. So to understand that you are in the hands of God, and if we do what we've been called to do, and we recognize the calling on our lives, we recognize the value of who we are as individuals, then we do go into the darkness. We do walk into the darkness as lights. We do walk into circumstances as an answer to things that people are crying for. When we understand that, I had a rough time deciding what career I was going to go in. Because I had a mindset about a career and I didn't have a calling mindset. I kept focusing on what I need to do rather than what my calling is. What am I called to? What am I supposed to be doing? You know what? You start, your calling does not require you to be in a specific place. Your calling only requires that you know who you are and bloom where you are. That you just recognize that wherever I'm planted, that if I do like Joseph and I just apply my gifts, and I just do what I know that God would have me to do. If I do it in that environment, then what I am is bigger than where I am. So to understand that means that you need to recognize, and we've talked in the past about spiritual growth, and I want to just kind of point this out, that we grow in a cycle. And not just one cycle, we grow in many cycles. And there are areas, and we were having a conversation last night with Maya and somebody else, that about people recognizing that because I'm mature in one area doesn't mean I'm mature in another area. God, I'm a work, I'm a process, and God is maturing me in different areas of my life. And so there are areas that I'm strong and areas that I'm struggling, but to understand that and to know that God accepts me in my strength and my struggle. God accepts me and God knows who I am. God sees me as one person who has many things going on. And so while I got holiness over here, I may have drama on the side. And it's okay because God understands. I know you got drama. I knew that when I formed you. You're going to have to work your way through this. So to understand that you have a God who loves you and who understands you, who knows the frame of you, who knows who you are. Who knows that when he says to go into all the world, that you're going to have a battle with going into all the world, that you're going to have some battles with who you are. You got some battles with who you can talk to, who you can't talk to, who I can reach and who I can't reach. We don't worry about that. We worry about being that which is connected to the vine. He is the vine. We are the branches. And to understand that as a branch, all you have to do is be who you are. Anointed in him. Be who you are, anointed in him, feeding from him, and he will cause you to grow in places where others have not been able to grow. He will cause you to do things in ways that others have not been able to do. And so we think about our own spiritual growth. There's a couple of things I want to point out to that she talked about in the video. Number one was we know about knowledge and revelation. We've taught about that before. But when it comes down to how we apply the word to our lives and we see God manifest in our lives, that manifestation that God provides in our lives becomes the fuel in which you impart to others. So your experience with God. And so she talked about everybody being at the table. But being at the table means that you're at the table communing with God, communing with Jesus, communing with him. And so when we're at that table, then automatically we're being fed things. You're automatically in a place of fellowship and connection. So that's what we want to be. We want to be in that place of fellowship and connection with God. And when we are there and when we're all the way in, we're partaking all the way, then what happens is that we are filled in order to fill other people. But we can't fill anyone until we're full. So let's go to the next slide. I want to show you two passages. Number one, Hebrews 10 and 36. For you have need of endurance, so after that you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So manifestation really has to do with us enduring. When we start to apply the word to our lives and we start to get ourselves in that position. Something about her testimony, Juanita Rasmus. Her testimony, and I believe this was filmed, she had been in ministry for years. Her and her husband are pastors of a church in Houston. And she got attacked with cancer. So the question about what is your hope had to do with her cancer recovery. But she didn't talk about the cancer. It wasn't mentioned in the video at all. She talked about what her hope was, her eternal hope. She knows, I'm not worried about what's happening. I'm confident in the manifestation of God. If I endure with the things that God has given me, God will take care of the other things. So she wasn't even concerned with that. That's not even what came across to her. What came across was, hey, my hope is on God bringing resurrection power into circumstances. God bringing the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, that being alive right now, not for me, but for those around me. That in the resurrection time that I'm going to see Hitler redeemed. I'm going to see slave masters redeemed. I'm going to see people who have done injustice to other people. I'm going to see them redeemed. Not I'm angry with them or I'm bitter with them. None of that. It's the same spirit that Joseph manifested. I'm not worried about my brothers. At the end of Joseph's life, when his brothers are, or when brother his father dies, his brothers come and say, listen, we got to go make good with Joseph. Because, you know, we sold him into slavery. And he was nice when our father was alive. But now that our father's died, it's no doubt he's coming after us. He's the second man in charge of Egypt. He has all power, everything at his disposal. So if he don't want us here, we are gone. So we're going to go to Joseph and make up. And when they went to Joseph to make up, he said, I forgave you. What you meant for evil, what you determined and you did out of emotion, what you did out of hatred, or you did out of anger, God has turned that around and used it for our good. And so not only was it for my good, it's for your good. We're all alive right now because of what you did to me. Since that attitude of understanding that when you stand on God's word, when you stand on that and you endure through whatever, that God's manifestation is not just for you, it's going to be for people around you. It's going to bless other people. It's going to bring blessing to the generations and to the people all around you. And when you do that, you have something to impart. Let's go to the next one. Impartation gets into going into all the world. Not going to just tell anybody anything. Going to all the world and tell people, teaching them what I taught you. You got to teach people what you learn in the prison. You got to teach people what you learn when you were a slave. You got to teach people what you learned through your hardship and through your difficulty, through your struggle. You got to teach people the things that got you where you are, why people could look at you and say, wow, Joseph is a great man. I want to bow down. But you don't know how I got here. Let me tell you how I got where I am. Let me explain to you what was required of me, not out of suffering, but what God did in the middle of what should have been suffering to me. See, when you author your own life, you don't have power to say what it's going to be like in the end. When God authors your life, God already knows what the end is. God is authoring the lives of everybody in here. We're called to do mighty things. I want everybody in this room to be able to identify with your challenges, identify with those things that you've been through, and learn to tell your story. She said in the video, everybody got pain. Everybody got a story. Everyone has a story. The powerful people are the people who learn how to recognize what the story is and tell the story. Tell the story not from a position of weakness. Tell the story from a position of, this is how God got me where I am. It's not something I have to be ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed of my past. I don't have to glory in my past. Because some people take it too far and they still glorying in the past and want to go back to the past. No, don't go back to the past. Stay where you are and go further. But understand that what you have been through, what you have endured, your story is valuable. Your story is valuable to people. Your story needs to be told. Your story needs to be heard. But we have been persuaded by the world. And remember, the spirit of the world wants you not to tell your story. The spirit of the world wants to stop you. It wants to seal your mouth. It wants you not to say. It wants you to say, well, yeah, by whatever means. No, this is how my story went. My story is this, is that somebody can be trained in religion and never know God. That's my story. My story is I can be sent by my parents into a Christian school environment and never know God. Yeah. And have the word preached all around me and sit in pastors' houses and be best friends with pastors' children and be all around God, all around, and never get it from here to here. I know what it means to have mental assent of God and say, yes, oh, yeah, I know all those things. I know what it is to have every book of the Bible memorized so you can quote it back. I know what it is to have every story memorized and know all those things. I know what it is to do that and still not know God in here. I know that. I know what it is to be an atheist. I know that. I'm not ashamed of it because that's what I was. I know what it is to go bounce around from religion to religion trying to figure out and argue with people because this doesn't make sense and that doesn't make sense. I've been all that. I've been through that. I understand it. And I know that's what my story is. So the question is, do you know what your story is? Do you know what your story is? See, let's go back up to Matthew 28. We look at Matthew 28 and we made such a spiritual thing out of it. We've made this into such this hard thing that we got to have a 17-week evangelism class to learn how to tell your story. Now, It's a calling. Evangelism is a calling. Absolutely. But it is not so difficult that we can't do it. It is not so difficult that we can't understand it. We can't grab it. But sometimes it's made out to be such a huge thing that we don't understand it. It's like, oh, I can remember talking to someone and them saying to me, well, you know, it's evangelism. I don't know where to start. You start with you. You start with your story. You start with your truth, what God has revealed to you. You start with those things. And so here this lady is. We don't even know who this lady is. We don't know anything about the lady. But her words were powerful. Why? Because she was speaking from here about her and God. The power of her testimony is not that she's a pastor. You know, she may have a pastor of be a pastor of 5 people or 5,000. We don't know. All we know is we heard a voice and we can register with the voice, and the voice spoke to us. It says something that we connect to. And that's what connection is about. Being an evangelist is about connecting with people and telling your story. It's about being recognizing that, first of all, I am connected to God. I'm connected to the source of all. And because I am, I can boldly tell you my story. I can boldly tell you what I'm all about. I can boldly say who I am because I know that I'm connected to him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And we're going to go ahead and take the offering and get out of here. Amen? You got something to think about today? All right. Praise God. Father, we love you. We give you glory. Thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for encouraging us and building us up. We thank you for the meditations of our heart being acceptable in your sight today. We thank you, Lord, that as we meditate on the word that we've heard, Lord, that you would do two things for us. We pray, Lord, that first of all, the ear to hear would allow this word to saturate us. Let us meditate on what Matthew 28 means, what it means to go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. Lord, second of all, we thank you that you will reveal to us and bring out to our remembrance every story that you've taken us through, every situation that you've brought us through successfully, every situation that seemed too hard for us to manage, but you found a way to navigate us through it. We thank you that you bring all those things to our remembrance. And Lord, give us the open door of witness that we might share with somebody what the hope is in us. We thank you right now and give you praise and glory for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.